Hi guys, my name is Vivian. I just have a big request. I realize the first four rows is empty, and I don't know about you, but as a preacher, it's really hard to stay focused when I'm looking. Oh, those are my friends. Awesome. Thanks, guys. This is going to disrupt the guest team's seating plans, but can I have you guys move in here? Yes, sides. I'm looking at you guys. You're not going to like this, but we're going to get used to sanctuary style where we're going to sit real close to one another. So just to help me out, guys, I need to see faces. I actually perform better that way. So you guys gonna have to sit that way. Oh, you guys, I'm looking at you too. Try to fill this way. Fill. There's plenty of spaces. We're going to get real intimate as we study God's word together, and we're going to absorb it as a unit, as a body, okay? Because I don't know about you, but scattered body is very hard. All right. Good evening, everyone. If you have been here before, did you guys say good evening? Good evening, everyone. Oh, I got a response. Perfect. So if you have been here before, welcome back. We're now in our second week of our sermon series, Call Your Name. And just 7 days ago, we were listening to Pastor Carson preach one of the famous names of God, Yahweh. This originally four-lettered Hebrew name, Yahweh, is God's covenant to his people. Yahweh is God with us, even when we're in need or when we're in want. And I hope we all agree that every one of us has desires. I mean, desires are inherent in our human nature. Our parents may have desires to own a bigger home for future security or a more comfortable retirement. Your brother is studying hard because he wants better grades. Or you simply want words of encouragement to feel accepted and feel love. And these desires are very different from survival needs, you know, like food, water, clothing, and shelter. But sometimes you might feel that your inner desire somehow dominates and becomes very imperative than your survival needs. Maybe you still remember how that specific desire had affected you. It affected your sleep, affected your appetite, it affected your mood. Then eventually you gave in and you had taken things into your own hands to fulfill that desire. In your mind, you said to yourself, I want it and I want it now. But let me ask you, were you satisfied afterwards? You wanted it and you wanted it immediately. You yourself fulfilled it. Have you remained satisfied? Or are you looking for something else to satisfy you now? For example, maybe you're a high achiever and you have worked hard to get good grades. You've gotten into the university program that you've always wanted it. And now you've been working for some time. And so your next desire is, I want a boyfriend, I want a girlfriend. Especially because you have seen that many of your friends have started dating and you have seen a lot of them recently married. And so you desire to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend so you can someone to confide in and share both your joys and worries. But you have grown to be more jealous and annoyed lately. When you see couples walking around, the sight of them reminds you that you're still single. Valentine's Day IG posts are the worst. You get triggered, you're annoyed, and then you start to question, if God is said to be good, why doesn't he give me a life partner? Going through that rabbit hole, you start questioning your looks and personality, and a seed of dissatisfaction that was planted earlier then finds its root deeper into your heart, then into your mind, and then all the parts of you. You have become slightly bitter. You don't like yourself, and really, you don't like God either. Let's be honest. You can't even sing worship songs with lyrics that contains the verse, I love you, Lord. Don't even talk about praying to God. Pray about what? You prayed and prayed for a life partner, and it has been 3 or more years since you've asked, and you're still single, available, and unattached. Your devotion life is no better. You don't want to open the Bible. TV dramas and online gaming are way more satisfying. But you know, they don't satisfy you for too long. And this yearning for a life partner is making it hard for you to sleep. You're tired the next morning. Your relationships are all affected too because certain thoughts just occupy your mind. And it's hard for you to truly care for others' needs because you might even become workaholic to numb that loneliness, or you put all your energy into studying so that you don't even have to think about it. And that's because that voice inside of you keeps shouting, I want a boyfriend, I want a girlfriend, I want it now. And that is just one of the many stories of dissatisfaction. If any part of the story resonates with you, then you have experienced signs and symptoms of dissatisfaction. Dissatisfaction is like a virus. It's as contagious as COVID and as debilitating as any cold or flu you have ever had. And dissatisfaction has four main cardinal signs and symptoms. Number one, you will feel restless. When you're dissatisfied with life, you cannot truly rest. You will feel the need to fix it, satisfy it, or distract yourself with something else. For example, restlessness may take the form of sleepless nights, or it may take the form of procrastination because you've been busy trying to distract yourself, or in the form of creating yourself as a workaholic or a high achiever, trying to reach satisfaction with the next adrenaline rush or with the next achievement. At the end of it, it's hard for you to slow down. You cannot enjoy Sabbath in God's presence because you feel unaccomplished, lazy, or bothered. Number two, you will feel exhausted. You're physically tired because you've tried a million different things to fill that void. Your body is sore, and it's like a red alarm going off, letting you know you're burning out. And you've noticed emotionally, socially, and mentally, you've shut down. And when you're placed in challenging situations, you become easily scared. And it's hard for you to trust in God's goodness. So you feel restless and exhausted when you're dissatisfied. The third cardinal signs and symptom of dissatisfaction is that you will feel defeated. This may be when you have some realizations that the methods you have been using to satisfy your desires no longer work. The serotonin that you get from the male lead falling in love with the female lead can only last so long. Or maybe you have made some bad choices or some sinful habits out of desperate gratifications. And so spiritually, you feel defeated that you cannot get rid of them. And the dissatisfaction lingers on. And lastly, number four, you would feel hopeless. This is when you've thrown the white towel in the boxing ring, the dissatisfaction has made its home in you, and you're mentally and spiritually bruised. You have given up trying to get rid of this dissatisfaction. And this area in your life that you believe that God would not change it, that God cannot change it, or that God does not want to change it. Hopelessness is when you think God doesn't care about you and you have given up on him. Because let's be honest, when we Christians are dissatisfied with life, we aren't just dissatisfied with the life circumstances. We are dissatisfied with God. We're dissatisfied with Yahweh, the one who promised to be with us. We agree that dissatisfaction is like a virus that tries to invade and destroy us. Let me share with you a vaccine, or you can call it an antidote. And that vaccine is one of the very names of God. Too bad if you don't believe in vaccines. This name of God is from the famous chapter of Psalms 23, written by King David. And tonight, my goal is to have each and every one of you get vaccinated by Psalms 23. And you're like, well, how? Well, by memorizing Psalm 23 together, while I'll explain what each verse means. Hopefully then, God's word, which is like a double-edged sword, will do its work to edify and strengthen you. So we're going to start, okay? You're going to get ready memorizing? Well, let's start with verse 1. We're going to show you the verses. I'm going to first read it out loud, and you're going to repeat after me, okay? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Your turn.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Very good. Thank you, class. In Hebrew, the literal translation would mean Yahweh, ho'i, I shall want not. Yahweh, ho'i, is one of God's Hebrew names. That means the Lord is my shepherd. The word ho'i itself means shepherd, to pasture, to be a keeper, to feed, or to tend. And Yahweh, from what we've learned last week, it's God's personal name, which carries the connotation that God is with us. And how is God with us? He is with us like a shepherd. And since none of us has ever worked as a farmer or shepherd, I assume, let me tell you how hard it is to tend sheep. So I went to the Canadian National Farm Animal Care Council's website and found a list of sheep behaviors. And these are the highlights. Number one, Sheep have really good memories, but they fear new visual objects because they're creatures of habit. Once they form a routine, either good or bad, they keep doing it. Sheep do not like to move into the darkness. They have no depth perception, so shadows, dark surfaces, and water can be dangerous to them. Number three, sheep have a well-developed sense of hearing. They react negatively to loud noises and yelling. They do better in quiet settings, just like Aslan. Sheep, by nature, are followers. They will move towards other sheep and can easily be led astray by others. They move better through long, narrow paths than wide, open spaces because they tend to wander off. And a good shepherd would know all these attributes of his sheep and know each sheep's particular personality, even name. And a sheep that trusts its shepherd will stay close to its shepherd and rely on the shepherd for all its needs and wants. And in the book called Life Without Lack by the famous Dallas Willard, a famous professor of spiritual formation has said, "The Lord is my shepherd." In other words, I'm in the care of someone else. I'm not the one in charge. I've taken my kingdom and surrender it to the kingdom of God. I'm living the with God life. The Lord is my shepherd. I really like the part that says, I'm in the care of someone else. I'm not the one in charge. I've taken my kingdom and surrender it to the kingdom of God. That's gospel, isn't it? When we surrender our kingdom to God and let him take charge, we no longer need to scramble around and search to fulfill our desires. God will do that part for us. And this explains the end of verse 1 of I shall not want. Another translation in Hebrew also means I shall not lack. The sheep doesn't lack anything, because the sheep trusts his shepherd loves him and will provide everything for him. That's why the sheep doesn't want anything, because the shepherd has and will continue to provide. Brothers and sisters, you don't lack anything because the Lord, your shepherd, is already providing everything and he will continue to provide for you. So let me ask you, have you been scrambling about in life to fulfill your needs and desires? Are you willing to trust that when you surrender your kingdom to God, our shepherd, he would take over and provide for you like a good shepherd who tends the sheep? Let's move on to verse 2. Again, I'll read it and you have to recite. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He makes me lie down. And now we're going to recite verse 1 and 2. If you can, close your eyes and challenge if you can do it, okay? I'll read it with you. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Do you know what kind of sheep will lie down in a green pasture? Any guesses? Like, what makes a sheep want to lie down in green pastures? Any thoughts? Anyone? Yep. When they're not searching for food? When they're food. Close. A sheep is willing to lie down when a sheep has been fed. You know, like when your belly is full and you're like, oh, I'm good. Like, I can rest. You know, lie on your couch kind of thing. Hunger will make sheep wander and roam in search of a snack. That's kind of like us at midnight. And a sheep who is afraid will also not lie down. But when a sheep is beside their shepherd who has fed them, who has placed them in a safe surrounding, that sheep will learn to lie down. And you know, green pastures don't just happen. They're caused. The hills of Israel are usually rocky, barren, and brown. And according to Pastor Don Baker in his book, The Way of the Shepherd, he said, lack of rain between May and October means that vegetation is withered and the heat are non-existent. Green pastures are non-existent unless someone, usually the shepherd, has already gone to the trouble of clearing the rocks, plowing the soil, planting the seed, irrigating the land and carefully tending the grasses, to be certain that his sheep have what they need. The shepherd often has to clear away the debris and pollution in the water. And because the shepherd knows the sheep is easily startled by noise, the shepherd leads them to quiet water holes. Yahweh, our God, doesn't sit around and do nothing. He prepares things for us because he cares for us, just like a shepherd. Do you still remember the four cardinal signs and symptoms of dissatisfaction? Restless, exhausted, defeated, and hopeless. But Psalm 23:2 reminds us that when we surrender our kingdom to Yahweh and follow him, we don't have to be restless anymore. We can rest in God's provision. That's why we can rest on Sabbath, because when we rest, we trust that God is still working on our behalf. Brothers and sisters, do you believe that God is working on your behalf and that when you rest, you will still be provided? Let's move on to verse 3. Okay, let's get your memory, your brain cells ready, okay? So Psalm 23:3. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Your turn. He
restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
All right. Now it's time to close your eyes if you can. You can still peek if you really need help. But we're going to recite verse 1 to 3 together. So Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When a sheep grow bigger, they become heavier. And with time, their wool becomes heavy. And when it attempts to lie down, it actually topples over like a flip beetle and gets stuck on its back. This is called a cast sheep. The limbs of a cast sheep will eventually stiffen. Now, if not rescued by his shepherd early enough, which usually requires the shepherd to vigorously massage the whole body to allow blood to flow again, that cast sheep dies. And you know what? We're very much like a cast sheep sometimes. When we're exhausted from dissatisfaction, we feel stuck. We can be stuck by feelings of guilt, discouragement, loneliness, or emptiness. And we feel downcast, play on word. And we can't get ourselves of those negative emotions. We need someone to restore our soul. And you're like, what's a soul? The soul is our thoughts, our emotions, our will, and our emotional and mental well-being. And only God can restore our soul. But how does God do that? It's in the next line. God restores our soul by leading us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You're like, well, what does that mean? God knows we're exhausted by dissatisfaction when we have tried to live our life in our own ways and with our old habits. Our human history and our current generation have proven that we strive to live in freedom outside of who God is. We have strayed away and forged our own path of thinking, trying to feed ourselves without realizing the old paths no longer satisfy us. So when God leads us in paths of righteousness, he first restores our mind by providing joy and encouragement through teaching us the right way to live. And the paths that we are to take is to follow the footsteps of our shepherd. And we can trust that God won't do anything outside of his holy character. That's what it means for his name's sake. So let me ask you this. Are you willing to follow the footsteps of God and learn to walk in his righteous ways? Because that is how he restores you from your exhausted soul. So let's review. When we surrender our lives to our shepherd, we live life without lack. We can rest and our soul can be restored. Okay, let's trot over the next verse. I'll read verse 4 and you have to recite. So same thing. I'm going to read. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your turn. Even though... no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Okay, now we're going to recite verses, all four verses together. Again, if you can, close your eyes. If you need help, that's okay. Keep your eyes open and read it together. But FYI, the words get smaller, so it gets a little bit more difficult, okay? So let's read Psalm 23 together. First one. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If you still remember, one of the behaviors of a sheep is that they're afraid of shadows and dark places because they cannot see very well. And the valley is a place of danger in Israel. The valleys in Israel are more like a ravine, sometimes 100 feet drop with high walls or rocky hill edges. There could be lions, bears, or snakes on the way. And when a shepherd leads a sheep through this area, the shepherd cannot yell out commands. Because if you remember, the sheep is afraid of loud noises. So the sheep can lose footing and fall off or die or get stuck between the rocks. Instead, sometimes the shepherd would put a bell on a nanny goat who is experienced and is known not to fall. And this nanny goat goes in the front to lead the sheep through the dark valley with a ringing bell. And the sheep just has to follow the ringing. And throughout this journey, the shepherd constantly checks on his sheep. And whenever the sheep is struggling, the shepherd uses his rod, his staff, to rescue or guide the sheep back to safety. And our God is just like that shepherd. He will guide you and rescue you. So instead of feeling defeated or living in fear when you walk and face valleys, remember that when you rely on God, you don't lack anything, including protection. You can feel reassured by his presence. A surrender life to God will have rest, restoration, and reassurance in his presence. So brothers and sisters, whatever season or valley you're walking in right now, will you choose to trust that Yahweh is with you? Will you trust that he will defend you from all kinds of enemies in difficult terrains? Are you guys ready for verse 5? I'll read again. Ready or not, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Your turn. You
prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Now is a challenging moment. We're going to put all five verses together. I'll read it out loud with you as you recite. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Now, I must say, this verse is a little bit tricky because some scholars believe that King David has shifted the nature of a shepherd to the nature of a generous host of a banquet. Because I don't suspect a shepherd will set up tables for his sheep to eat in front of lions and snakes. Nevertheless, to prepare a table before the presence of enemies, describe a scene of victory, of celebration. The enemies are defeated, and the king throws a banquet for his people, where they can enjoy the victory and abundance to the point their cup overflows. But what about getting the head anointed with oil? Well, there are different school of thoughts for this. But an interesting take is that a shepherd sometimes put healing balm or oil to fend off snakes, bugs, and heal any cuts or wounds. Now, because of time, let's quickly jump to verse 6. I'm going to read. Surely, Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All right, your turn. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Ready? All six together? Ready or not? Let's do it. All right, for those who can, close your eyes. If you can't, that's okay. You can keep them open. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Give yourself a round of applause. Good job. You've all been secretly vaccinated by Psalm 23. Good job. Now, let's talk. Dallas Willard, in Life Without Lack, described verse 6 saying, this is a description of the eternal life available to us now in the kingdom of the heavens. The abundant with God life that comes from following the shepherd, where we dwell and abide with God in the fullness of life, a life in which all the promises of Christ's gospel are realized. Because of this, we have no reason to be anxious, from Philippians 4, 6 to 7. The world is a perfectly safe place for us to be. Psalm 23 reminds us that we can experience hope for fullness of life in God. When we surrender our lives to God, we learn to rely on him. We no longer need to be anxious because we can experience the kingdom of heavens now. And we're experiencing the kingdom of heavens now because through Jesus Christ, we're receiving God's goodness and mercy every day. Goodness is getting those things that we do not deserve. Mercy is God withholding things we do deserve. Goodness is to provide. Mercy is to forgive. And we have both given to us now and every single days of our lives. My friends, do you want to continue to live a life feeling restless, exhausted, defeated, and hopeless? Feeling like you need to fight your way through life to get what you want? Living in the I want it now mentality? Or will you be willing to surrender your ways of life to God and let him do the work? Let him be your shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He gives you rest. He restores you. He gives reassurance. And he gives you hope that certainly goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life when you rely on him. So what will your response be? What should we be doing starting tonight after service? I challenge you to come up to the front after service and ask one of the pastors to pray for you or one of the Oikos leaders to pray for you. Maybe you can surrender your habits and desires to God tonight through prayers. And tonight when you go home, maybe when you're laying in bed and you notice that you start feeling the signs and symptoms of dissatisfaction, could you recite Psalm 23, just like how we did tonight? And remember that the Lord is your shepherd. And start incorporating Psalm 23 in your prayers. You don't have to use all six verses, maybe the ones that you still remember. And claim God's goodness in your prayers and make it become yours. It will become your shield and anointing oil in whatever valley you're walking through. And you ask me, do these things really work, Vivian? You would know if you know my story. And I know some of you might have heard this before. When I was 9 or 10 years old, after accepting Christ for maybe like 1 or 2 years, I went through some dark valleys. At one point, I wanted to commit suicide in my parents' bedroom because I was angry and I was sad. I thought if I died laying in their beds, my parents would regret for the rest of their lives. That's how dark the times were. But then I suddenly heard God's voice speak to me when I was in my parents' room. The voice promised me that life would be better if I surrendered to him and trust him with my life. With much bargaining and hesitation, I finally gave up the thought of committing suicide and walked out my parents' bedroom and joined my family for TV time as if nothing ever happened. But you'll ask, so did things get better? Yes, like the sheep in Psalms 23, I have laid on green pastures and beside still waters. But sometimes I also have walked through my version of the valley of the shadow of death. I still remember that dark valley was the day I finished my licensing exam. My classmate was driving me home, and both of us cried in the car together because we both thought we flunked our exam and would be the only students in the whole program history to have ever failed their licensing exams. I remember it was Father's Day, but I couldn't talk to my earthly father and definitely could not talk to my heavenly father, because who was I most angry at? God. I was mad that he would allow me to fail, and I left my house, walked along the streets crying like a crazy woman while talking to my friend. I'm sure when cars were driving past, they were like, oh, this girl got broken up with her boyfriend or something. But my friend said, Vivian, come over. Let's do a sleepover. Let's talk. So I drove my car over. You know what happened when I was driving? I was listening to the radio station Praise 106.5, and it played 4 songs along the way. You know what each song had in common? Every single song had lyrics of crying, tears, and God promising to be with me. You know what my response was? I shut it off and I started yelling at God. I told him, I don't care if you can catch my tears with your hands, I'm still mad at you. And then I made it to my friend. She welcomed me with a hug. She let me cry on her shoulders. I told her what happened in the car. And she said, Vivian, do you know that God really loves you? He was with you this whole time. I know you really want to pass this exam, but God really wants you to know that he's always with you, even when times get tough, and especially when you don't know what's going on. After hearing that, I started crying again because I was reminded that I have an Abba Father who cares about me. I know I can trust that having him as my shepherd is enough. He is enough. And how about recent days? Do you still remember the first example of that individual who is a high achiever and still single, available, and unattached? Well, that was mostly me. To this day, I'm still learning to be comforted by God, by his rod and staff, when I'm walking this kind of valley in my life. How about you? Are there things in your life that you're still dissatisfied with? Have you been restless, exhausted, defeated, and feeling hopeless? Maybe you too have cried about it like me, but I want you to remember this. Psalm 23 reminded us that when we surrender our lives to Yahweh Roi, the Lord our shepherd, we shall not lack. We can have rest. We can be restored. We are reassured, and we can rely on him for hope. Let's pray. Yahweh, our Father in heaven, even though we know you already know everything, we want you to know that life is hard. Bad things happened. We made mistakes. We have regrets. And we have many unmet desires. But tonight, we want to lay all these things before you. Could you make us lie down in green pastures and lead us beside your still waters? Restore our soul and lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. May your rod and your staff comfort us and be with us when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And when we do get hurt, anoint our heads with oil. And we trust we can claim the promises that surely goodness and mercy will follow all the days of our lives, because we want to dwell in your house forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.